Buddy, how are we doing? Yes. Can I say something? By the way, if somebody thinks, I've just been in the toilet and I was washing myself and I realised I dribbled water all down my trousers. So it's not that I've suddenly... I mean, I don't suffer with what Eric suffers, you know, incontinence and stuff, but, you know, yeah. And I was saying, I mean, I wanted to get candles for Helen's birthday, but I couldn't find a cake in time to fit 65 candles on the cake, do you know what I mean? But, you know, we are good friends, honestly.
We were.
Just fickle. She's not a proper Christian, really, now, is she? Hey, I've got the microphone here now for a minute. I want to say again, just before I kind of talk about what we're going to talk about today, is this. I'm not interested if I'm ever asked to speak again. Wherever I go, whatever I do, what I desire is to see God move again. I mean, we've heard of some circumstances just today of what's going on in people's lives. These are brothers and sisters, Christians. I mean, I'm having to deal with an incredibly serious family situation just at the minute with my brother. It's all going on. So it has to be more than just, you know what, aren't I great? Don't I look important? People must think I'm super spiritual. Probably not, actually. Because I've been asked to stand up at the front here. I've got it all going on. Yeah, I've got a nice suit on, maybe, or whatever. Please hear my heart. I am not interested. I can truly say this. I'd rather somebody come and throw a brick at me and say, I really didn't like that, and then actually go out and say, I'm going to change the world. Then somebody come and say, oh, that was wonderful, brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then do nothing with it. And ultimately, I can say this. I feel a tremendous privilege and a tremendous responsibility that I stand before the King of Kings, Almighty God. And I want to communicate, God, I and we are desperate for you. One touch from him and it's game over. We need him to come again. So I am not satisfied with just sharing something from the Bible of people listening to me, even coming saying one or two nice things. Hear my heart. We want to see God come again. Holy Spirit, have your way in your church. Your kingdom come and your will be done in mine and our lives, just as it is in heaven. God, we say today, we're no longer satisfied. We want more, God. We want more. God, we say thank you for what you have done and what you are doing. But God, we say there is a holy dissatisfaction in us. There is a desperation and a hunger where we say, God, it can't be business as usual anymore. We can't go through the motions anymore. There is too much at stake. And we cry out, God, and we say, God, come and move again. God, come and be yourself. Father, in spite of me, in spite of us, God, would you be pleased to move in our midst again? But not just for our own consumption, but for the transformation of our community and for the glorification of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. So, If anybody remembers what I spoke on last time, can anybody remember? There you go. Hey, see, John was listening. Now, can I tell you something? This is absolutely the truth. If John was listening, that's good enough for me. If nobody else was and John was listening, that's good enough for me. If somebody like John was listening and remembered, he might not have agreed with it or liked it, but that's enough for me. So we were talking about the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, man strength. And it says the second in line with this is to love your neighbour as you love yourself. So today I want to talk about, God willing, how do we actually love our neighbour? I believe we best love our neighbour by praying for them. I believe there is no greater way than demonstrating God's love and our love for our neighbours than to pray for them. Matt, can I just get that little quotation there, please? Hallelujah. I meant to have put this on my iPad and I forgot. So, in communicating what we've just talked about there, how do we love our neighbour to pray for them? So, when God was saying to love him with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, what God is saying, love me with everything you've got. Withholding nothing, not one thing. It's either 100% or none at all. There's no such thing as 99% Christianity. It's 100%. It's love him with everything we've got. Why? Because, this is just a recap by the way. Why? Because he's loved us with all his heart, mind, soul and strength. He's loved us with everything he's got, withholding nothing. How do we know that? Well, 2,000 years ago, the one who was most precious to him was butchered upon a cross and died for us. How do I know he's loved me with everything he's got, withholding nothing? Would I give my son for Eric? No, I wouldn't. I like him. I love this man. I wouldn't let my son die for him, even if he was deserving of it. But God, who gave the one who committed no sin for one who was an absolute filthy, rotten scumbag. And I'm putting that nicely. That's how much he loved us. What did you say then, my darling? This is no way to talk about Eric, Karen just said. So, how do we demonstrate? Oh, I've lost this now. Hey, Matt, come and help me with this. Thank you. I've got to stop walking past that speaker, haven't I?
Just read it.
Amen. Amen.
Just read it.
So, just read it, man. He's like, come on, I've got the Sunday roast at home. Get on with this. Our prayer must not be self-centred. It must arise not only because we feel our own need as a burden we must lay upon God, but also because we are so bound up in love for our fellow men that we feel their need as acutely as our own. To make intercession for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for them. That's a quote by one of Eric's heroes, John Calvin. Eric will feel it's a private joke. There's hope for me yet. To make intercession for men is the most powerful and practical way in which we can express our love for them. Now, prayer, I've heard it described that the Western Church, and certainly the white British Church, in regards to prayer, were an unreached people group. Imagine that. My good friend, James Aladrin from Prayer Storm, said it. We're an unreached people group. Imagine. I mean, Martin Luther said prayer to the Christian should be natural as breathing, as is oxygen to the lungs. And how many conversations do I have with people day by day who say, well, you know, I'm too busy to pray. Or we just need to crack on with it. We need to get on with it. I mean, time is short. I mean, we've got too many things to do. I mean, we've got to see people get saved. And oh, and by the way, Coronation Street's on. And oh, I've got to go on Facebook. And oh, I've got to go to the concert. And oh. So we can't pray. But John Calvin, who knew a bit about what he was talking about, said, it's the greatest way we will demonstrate in intercession our love for our neighbours. So, what are we going to do about this? How do we express prayer as love for our neighbours? So, if we look at the scripture in Matthew, it's in Matthew somewhere, I promise you. Hey, it's great, isn't it, when you've been messing with something and then you lose where you've done it. Hey, technology. At least this hasn't crashed on me yet anyway. I mean, I was speaking somewhere. Eric and Jackie were there. And I was about to get up to speak and the computer went kabong. My whole sermon on there. Well, we got to know whether I'd actually was telling the truth if I'd memorised it or not. Somewhere. So when it was saying in Matthew, where it says, the harvest is plentiful. I think it's, is it 8? Here we go. Hallelujah, we're there. So chapter 8, I think it is. Chapter 9. So Matthew chapter 9. Starting at verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Can I ask you a question here? Therefore, does it say preach earnestly? Does it say evangelize earnestly? Does it say give money to charity earnestly? Or I might stand on a couple of toes in a second. Does it say go to theological college earnestly? What does it say? The harvest is plentiful. He said he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He wept over them. He was demonstrating his love for his neighbours. And what he was saying is the greatest way we're going to see the harvest gathered in, first and foremost, is to pray that the Lord will send the workers. So God himself is not saying, let's just all go rushing off and doing whatever. Let's start a CAP course. Hey, nothing wrong with CAP. CAP is awesome. Let's start a homeless outreach. Let's go and do 10 different church plants. Let's have a theological seminary. Let's start a youth group. Because we see the harvest is plentiful. People are dying without Jesus. But he doesn't say that. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send the workers. Now, in our culture today, prayer is not a natural thing. I see prayer as voluntary weakness. In Romans chapter 8, I think it's 25 or something like that, it says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of us truly do weakness in an easy way? I know I don't. So I believe prayer best described in really in that sense, and we'll get to hear this in the source night, is voluntary weakness. Because we're acknowledging our need of another because we actually can't do it as and by ourselves. Now, can I tell you something? Some people who know me really well know of all the things I've been through with family, Karen and I, everything, right? And how many times have I said, Karen, I will sort this out. They do not know who they are tangling with. This is the man. I promise you, I wreaked havoc one day. Before I was a Christian, I mean, anybody crossed my path and they weren't a friend, they got to know about it in some very real ways. So, why would I pray? Why is Jesus saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest as expressing love for our neighbours? Because he knows that prayer attracts the presence of God. Prayer is testimony to God's ability. The absence of prayer is testimony to my own ability. Many, many times I've lost my peace. I've lost the plot. I've been ready for being sectioned. Because I've said, just watch what I do. And forget trusting in God. I mean, Karen And Elizabeth looked shocked then. But, I mean, I've genuinely thought this. Well, all right, we'll go to God as a last resort. Because my ability is enough. My talent's enough. I can just threaten them in the end. I can just try and look scary. As the boy said, my son said, oh, Daddy's got the look. But he said, pray that the Lord of the harvest. So in praying, we come in voluntary weakness. We're acknowledging we actually can't achieve anything in ourselves. We're actually incapable of loving our neighbours without the love of God in us. And we get the love of God by His Spirit by praying and sitting at His feet. And we run around like nobody's business, trying to show to God our own talents and our own abilities, how much we can do this. We say to God, we put on display our gifts and we ask God to bless it and to be pleased with it and even to be impressed with it and to actually show Him actually He needs us. But you know, prayer is coming in humility and saying, God, I haven't got any of this. I haven't got it together. I can't do any of this. And I need You. And I am going to come and sit at Your feet. So where does that start? It starts with intimacy with Jesus. It starts with sitting at the Father's feet. King David said in Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing have I desired, that will I seek, is to gaze upon the beauty of my Lord. When he was being asked about prayer, Jesus said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. He was thinking of what King David said. Prayer is first and foremost worship. It's gazing upon the beauty of Jesus. As King David said, he said, I will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, then I will inquire in His temple. So we're gazing before we're going. Many of us want to go and then maybe gaze when it all goes pear-shaped and we've got no other alternatives. Jesus said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Before we do anything, it's worship and adoration. And we're then equipped to love our neighbours. Amen. So if we look in the scripture of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, and humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. I will answer their prayer and I will heal the land. Now, there is not time to get into the theological working out of that, the hermeneutics of it. Hey, did anybody know I was capable of such a clever word like that? Shazza, do you know when you were looking at me, Basil, then? Hermeneutics, basically the interpretation of what the Bible is saying. Am I correct, Trevor? Awesome. Hey, I'm not daft as I look. Somebody said to me, Paul, you're not daft as you look. I said, it's better than not looking as daft as you are. Amen. That was for free, that one. Now, we can say that was addressed to the Israelites, to the Jewish nation. It was in relation to the plight they were in. It was just to say, look, come, humble yourself. Well, if we look at the word, when it says, humble yourself, well, the Hebrew word there is karna, which means to bend the knee. Hence, to humiliate, vanquish, to bring down low, to bring into subjection, to bring under, to humble oneself, to subdue, to be subdued. Just like prayer and then humility. How many of us can say we naturally want to humble ourselves? How many of us can say we want to come and humiliate ourselves on behalf of another who actually might not be our neighbour, we see him more as an enemy? Now, some people may say, well, what is our neighbour? Who is our neighbour? Let me tell you who your neighbour is. Anybody you ever, as a Christian, come into contact with. And you are to love them as you love yourself, as God has loved you. and you want him to love you. We have no other option. It's not a discussion. It's not a meeting. It's not a theological conference. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength is the greatest commandment. Then go and love your neighbour as yourself. And then he says, the harvest is plenty. Pray that the Lord of the harvest. So what he is not saying, let's all go rushing off and do whatever in our own ideas and our own strength and go, oh, by the way, God, this is me, your right-hand man, God the Father, God the Son, and God Paul Davis. I'm just letting you know, this is what we're doing for you, and we're asking you to bless it, and actually you should really be really impressed with it, because I'm amazing. No. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send the workers. Prayer is the greatest way we demonstrate our love for our neighbours. So how do we look at this practically? We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to be willing to humiliate ourselves. And there are four conditions that are laid there. To humble ourselves, to confess our sins, on and on. Then there are conditions that God promises in relation to that. I will hear their prayer. I will forgive their sins, and I will come and heal the land. As I said, there is not time to get into the understanding of whether that was for 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years ago or for now. I think the principles can be applied today. So that scripture is applied to the Jewish nation, the Israelites. I believe that. But I believe we can take principles from that and apply them today. And that is, if we humble ourselves, if we are called by his name, if we come in unity. Do you know, in demonstrating our love for our neighbours, here and outside there, do you know we have no rights to not be in unity with anyone? Let me explain that. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with everyone. John Wesley said, we won't all think alike, but we will all love alike. I think he knew a bit about kind of seeing God move and about humiliating yourself and loving one another, all this kind of stuff. We demonstrate our love for our neighbour by praying for them. That means that, you know, as we come to pray, God enables humility to rise in our hearts, where we're no longer seeking our own will and our own agendas, our own success, but we can truly put another ahead of ourselves. As John Calvin was saying, to make intercession, to feel the need of another as acutely as you feel the need of your own. I heard somebody say, we truly know when we're loving our neighbours, when we become as broken-hearted about what somebody else is going through as what we're going through. So many of us will talk about the things that break our hearts, and then we hear something that's breaking somebody else's heart, and we're not interested. That is what I'm talking about here. I mean, prayer. We can just have words with no heart. But I tell you what, I'd rather have no words and heart in prayer than words and no heart. Amen? Am I making sense here? So, what is at stake here? I mean, there's a million things I could say in all of this. But what is at stake here? It says the condition is ultimately, I will hear from heaven, I will answer you, and I will come and heal the land. Well, if we don't pray, do you understand? If we don't seek God in worship and adoration, we are actually hindering him coming, touching one of our neighbours and blessing them and breaking into their lives. We are their hope in the sense of praying for them and asking for God's ability and strength to work in situations. It's not us that people need, it's Jesus Christ. And we're just a vehicle and a vessel. In loving our neighbours, in praying, we get to feel his heart for our neighbours. We get to hear his voice and we get to be his hands and feet. And we've got to see, I am desperate for this. I mean, I could run around. It's gut-wrenching for me. And I have spent time with people in the last 12, 18 months who have seen incredible moves of God. Not in the church, but in every sphere of society. Colombia, where there was 80,000 government officials on the payroll of the drugs cartel. They reckon 70-odd% of them have become Christians. Why? Because there was a group of pastors who hated one another, who came, what, in unity, who humbled themselves and realized there was something far greater than themselves and their own hang-ups. There was something far greater at stake here. And they loved their neighbors, and God has come and visited their land. And he is healing their land. He is healing people's lives. I've seen it in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I've seen it in Cape Town. We can keep going, we keep going, we keep going. But do you know what? And I'm not raising my voice because I think people need to wake up because it's hot in here. This burns within me. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to theologize about it anymore. I want to see it. Not so I can sell some DVDs and buy a big house and a jumbo jet, but because people's lives are going to be changed and transformed for eternity. And they're going to live for billions and billions and billions of years in the presence of Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? If we cannot be motivated to give our lives, well, where do we start? What do we do? Life's busy, Paul. We've got things to do. Stop them then. Stop them. And sit and be still. Why? Because our community, our neighbours here, we need Jesus. I need Jesus more than anybody else in this room and outside this room. I need him more than anybody here every single day. I am in trouble massively. Can I tell you, we have been through the most profound and incredible things. Karen and I, live this, that, the other. I mean, just even the last couple of weeks. Do you know, if I do not come and sit at his feet and just gaze upon him and say, Jesus, Father God, you're beautiful and I worship and adore you, do you know I will wreak havoc? I would be an awful husband. That's on a good day, and don't you smile. I would be a terrible neighbour. Do you know, this is absolutely true, I would be a danger to society. If I was not praying, if I was not worshipping, adoring, seeking intimacy with Father God. So rounding up in all of that, God himself promises that if we pray, if first of all we come in unity, do not anybody here ever say, I can't get along with that person because they don't talk in tongues. Or they do talk in tongues. Or they believe in prophecy. Or they don't believe in prophecy. Or they just don't wear the right clothes. Or, you know, I don't like the leader. Can I say something? Don't you ever, ever behave like that. I am being dead, dead serious. We have no rights. We have no rights to not love our neighbours just as we want God to love us. And let me tell you something. The world, our community is not interested in how much we know this until they know how much we love them. And the greatest gift we can give to our neighbours is to come before God, empty ourselves of all our ambitions, all our busyness, all our agendas, and say, God, I'm going to seek you. Why? Do you know it moves his heart when we say we have need of him? We need him more than I actually can rely on my own abilities. And the thing is, it's much easier to get busy and to do because we're not actually happy with God's timetable. We want it done in our time. I mean, there's a fantastic quote just on one of my pages here, but I'm not going to take time to look at it. But that's the upshot of it, is this. It's Oswald Chambers, look it up. Is we are so busy. And what we do is we do so many, so many, so many things. And we don't want to pray. We just want to run out and do. Because ultimately, we don't want to make ourselves weak and vulnerable. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to trust and rely on another. We don't want to be weak. We just want to get it done by ourselves. I'm sure I'm speaking to somebody today. I know I'm speaking to me. So let us be known as a church who loves our neighbours, not by how much money we give, not by how many ministries we have, not by how great the Bible knowledge we have, not by doing this and doing that, but first and foremost, coming before this amazing God. Do you know why prayer is so important? 2/3 of the Godhead intercede. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So if that is God himself interceding, do you know that prayer is the fourth mentioned word, most mentioned word in regards to reaching out? Jesus didn't say preach to your enemies. He said love your enemies and pray for them. We see Jesus himself constantly going to a quiet place seeking his Father. I don't know whether I'm right in this. It's just something I've thought about. Could Jesus have done what he did without relationship with the Father as a human man? Though he's God, he was a human man. So if Jesus Christ himself, though he is God, became human, became flesh, needed to constantly and perpetually be in the Father's presence, seeing all these things going on around him, but he was in the Father's presence. If he saw that as his number one need and desire, do you not think that is much more so for us? So, a practical expression of all of that. We have got numbers of houses of prayer now. So, I am called to be a full-time intercessor. Sounds really fancy that, doesn't it? It means I just get to spend loads of time with him. And you know what? He is, because he is worth it. He is worthy of it all. And there's that song, isn't there? You are worthy of it. I'm not going to sing, by the way. You are worthy of it all. 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 For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. He deserves the glory. Let us be known as a church who cry out to him on behalf of our neighbours, not trusting in one single thing we've got, but other than Jesus Christ revealing himself, changing people's lives. Let us not be satisfied with what we have today. Because if this is what it's all about, I'm going somewhere else. I'm not coming to church anymore. I'm going to go to Old Trafford or something. But it's got to be more than this. It's got to be more. It's got to be more. I don't know how to put this eloquently. I mean, I'm not polished and pristine. And Steph agreed with me the other day. Yeah, passion and personality. And Steph said, well, we can't have everything, can we? And she said, oh, I've said it now. I don't know how to put it. But I am not satisfied with what's going on around. We've got this EU referendum coming up. Can we not apply the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves? What have we seen come flooding into our nation? The Lord's Prayer taken out of schools, out of politics. Teaching on same-sex marriage, teaching on... And we've sat by and been quiet. And we say we love our neighbours. We're kidding ourselves. And so we have a number of houses of prayer. And if you want to know more about it and you want to come and have time just to sit at his feet and just to seek him and become attractive and irresistible to this, to the presence of this amazing God, come and talk, come and be. Let's get together in unity and in humility. Let's cry out to God. Let's say, God, hear us, come and answer us and come and heal our land, because there's too much at stake. And it breaks his heart what he sees. Am I making sense in what I'm saying? I mean, I can bounce around and I can get, you know, but please. I'm being told to get off now. I mean, at least Ali's not in here going off, off, off. But all joking aside, there's many ways we can demonstrate our love for our neighbours. I believe the greatest and the best and the what accomplishes the most, because it's on his ability, not our own, is pray for our neighbours every single day. But not words without heart, but with words that say, I see the needs of that person just as I see my own needs. And I will give everything to it till I see their situation improve in some way. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your time. God bless you.